Christmas is really the celebration of Jesus' birth, and that's why we're here. Christmas has, really over a number of years become much more commercialized. And so many businesses and so many companies are trying to sell their products. So many stories and movies and even songs, they all lead us to think about Santa Claus or presents or trees or lights or foods, relationships. Really those lists could just go on and on. And don't get me wrong, I enjoy a lot of those things as well. But tonight, here at this Christmas Eve service, we come here to focus our attention on what is important. What is Christmas all about? Christmas is about Jesus. You can take away the cards, you can take away the trees, you can take away the lights and the cookies, you can even take away friends and family, you can take away the chip dip and the candy, you can take away the songs, the stockings, and yes, you can take away the presents. Kind of like the movie Grinch, which I'm sure most of you are thinking about as I'm talking about taking away everything. You see, you can take away just about everything. It changes nothing of what Christmas is about. We can still rejoice. We can still worship because what cannot be taken away is the greatest love shown to us by God our Father, and that's Jesus Christ. Jesus cannot be taken away. John 3:16 through 17 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, and whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." Christmas is the celebration of God's Son coming here. It is celebrating the great love for us. And even though we could do nothing to earn his love, meaning we could try as hard as we might, we cannot earn his love. He instead gives us his love. He gave his Son, who brings eternal life to those who put their faith in him. That is the good news. Jesus comes here to live and to dwell among us. This is called the incarnation by many scholars or just other people. Incarnation means to take the form of human flesh. Many people for centuries now have scoffed and heckled, even attacked people of our faith because of that very point. Jesus as God taking the form of human flesh. The notion that God lowering himself to become a man, and not just a man at the beginning, he was an infant, a child. But that is exactly what we see in the Nativity. We see that in Bethlehem. When you sang that song, "Hark the Herald Angels Sing," that was the last song that we sang. And there's a phrase in there, this which is written by Charles Wesley, says, we find the phrase, "Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity." Those are beautiful words, but there's so much depth to what those mean. God took on flesh, and we praise him for that. John 1:14, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." At the moment Jesus was born, at the moment the Word became flesh and he made his entrance, It was not what we would expect from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It was a humble entrance, and even less an ordinary beginning, but nonetheless worthy of worship. Nonetheless, his coming was earth-changing and worthy of our praise, worthy of all praise. I'll be reading from Luke chapter 2, and you can follow along on the back of that little red bulletin if you would like. I'll be reading verses 6 through 14. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." Who were the first to hear of Jesus' birth? A bunch of shepherds. But what I want to point out is the heavens erupted with heavenly hosts. A great number of angels were praising God, saying Christ has come in earthly form. And the angels are praising God. Glory to God in the highest, and on here peace to men on whom his favor rests. You see, we see God's great love for us when he sent his Son. God's great love is shown to us because Jesus was born. And peace comes to men because Christ brings life. Christ renews our relationship with God the Father. It's been far too long since we've seen with Adam and Eve and the fall. It's far too long. Sin has had broken that relationship with God our Father. Sin causes a separation between us. And because of Christ and what he came to do, we are again united to God through Christ. The angels knew how significant Christ's entrance was, and their praise must have been a miraculous sight to see just a host of angels and hearing them. What a sight and sound for the shepherds. So much praise by the angels. But you know, the praise wasn't limited to just the angels. We read on in Luke chapter 2, starting with verse 15. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Can you imagine a shepherd on a dark, quiet night, and the angels, a host of angels, just lighting up the sky and filling the sound of that praise, just a wonderful sound. And then they leave. And when the angels left, the night would return back to dark, and the countryside would return to its eerily quietness. I wonder what the shepherds did right away. They probably took a moment and wondered, did that just really happen? They probably looked at each other for a moment going, yeah, that just happened. And we read that the shepherds were saying, let's go to Bethlehem, but I almost wonder if they weren't already on their way, heading over to Bethlehem, looking at each other as they're running, saying, let's go. Scripture says they hurried off. They left their flocks, they left their posts. They left because they heard that God did something miraculous. They left because God brought the Savior. The coming Messiah has been waited for centuries, and the shepherds were excited. When God moves, should we be excited about what He is doing? Those shepherds were excited about what they heard. They were even more excited to spread. They were so excited that they couldn't help but spread the word. They shared what they heard and saw with others. When God moves in your life, when you hear something that God is doing, do you get excited? So many people have looked down on simple shepherds. They didn't have an education. They didn't study writings about God. They only knew simple things of life, but the one important thing is that they loved God. They were the first people to hear the good news of Christ's birth. They were the first to spread the word of Christ as well. So many times we allow ourselves to think that since we don't know much, or we may not understand the Bible all that well, we don't have any special training, what can we do to share about what God is doing? And we can look at the shepherds and realize, you don't have to know everything. You don't have to have everything figured out. Do you love God? That's where they were. And then share what God is doing. What is God doing in your life? You get saved by putting your faith in Christ. Wow, share it. He's speaking to you through Scripture. Share it. He's challenging you in some way. Share it. Maybe what God is doing in your life will encourage someone else. Don't keep Jesus to yourself. There's a little song that talks that the children often sing about this little light of mine. We're going to let it shine. Jesus is the light. He's meant to be shared with others, not hidden. Again, the shepherds, they returned glorifying God over what they had seen and heard. And when they came together, we see that they continued to glorify God. I think about what God has done in my life, what Christ has done in my life. I am saved because I put my faith in Jesus. But Jesus came. He was born. Jesus then atoned for my sins, and I'm looking forward to an eternity with Him, and He's working in my life to make me more like Himself, and sometimes it seems like there's a lot of work ahead. But the Lord is continuing to work in me, and I thank Jesus daily for that. What's He doing in your life? What's He doing in your life? Let us worship Christ every day. It's beautiful to see that not only the angels worshiped when Christ was born, but also the shepherds. I think from the highest of angels to the lowliest of shepherds. And everybody in between should be worshiping Christ and sharing his good news. We have so much to give thanks for, so much to give praise for. Because the greatest gift to mankind has been given, and that's what we celebrate at Christmas. The gift of Jesus Christ. And Jesus brings grace and peace and salvation to all who call upon him and receive it.